Smart Isley with the Scrimmage Play Podcast. I'm here with Ryan Eamon. We're here to talk basketball. It's time to dive into it. We're in the thick of the season right now. And let's just kick it off with what you feel like. You've already written about it, sort of declared it. That's the gauntlet for game of the year, Madison versus Moreau. Just tell us about it.
Yeah, you have a game that has all the sort of necessary ingredients for a classic game. You know, big lead up front for one team, another team having to crawl back. Madison, in this case, went down early, 12-0 at one point. A double-digit hole to dig out of in the fourth quarter there. And they just slowly worked their way out of it, had a lot of tension. Monroe struggling at the free throw line. You can see it sort of visibly wearing on the players there. And then Madison just comes out, finds a way to tie things up, take the lead at one point, almost has a layup to win it at the buzzer, and then you're headed to OT. And OT, it was so back and forth. Madison comes out at the end, and it's the crowd there. Whenever Monroe and Madison get together, we talk about how good that energy is from the crowd. It was in their gym, just all the right pieces. Obviously, if you're a Monroe fan, it was a heartbreaking loss. But if you're a Madison fan, this is the greatest way to win a game ever. And for two teams coming in with the records they had, this is what you wanted to see in terms of hype. One-loss teams, how are they going to pair up against each other in this district? I really like the way both teams play. I think if you're Madison, you want to come out with more energy the next time. If you're Monroe, all you got to do is handle the free throws at the end, and you've got a W. So there's a lot to take away from this one, and I just thought it was a fantastic game to watch. I really enjoyed it.
Isaiah Smith's a guy we've been watching for a few years. You know, obviously a smaller school, so maybe not as many people get a chance to see him, but a top-notch point guard who really knows how to take care of business.
I think last year we compared him a couple times to Malik Johnson out of Blue Ridge, and it just the comparison just seems more fitting each time you see him play. Talking with Coach Breeden afterwards, what stands out with his game right now is how tenacious he is under the basket. He's coming away with almost double-digit rebound efforts because he's getting into the hole and finding a way to just scrap for loose balls. He's so fearless going to the basket on the other side of the ball. You know, he can shoot from outside if he wants to, but that's not his game. It's underneath the basket, and when you see that kind of play from a guy, again, we're not talking about somebody who's 6'10", posting up. This is a kid who has to work his way down in there, and he does it off the dribble. He's lightning quick. He's just so agile and unafraid. And, you know, he gets banged up and just gets up off the floor. Very Dwayne Wade, like those commercials that we used to see all the time. He's just really fun to watch. And then you have him, and he's paired. He and Dre Twyman are to that school what Austin Castro and Jake Hahn are to Albemarle. They've been there forever.
Yeah.
They're just staples of the program. And so why they headline it, when you have a kid like Gaines Swink come along and help leading in the scoring efforts, Kobe Alexander, huge efforts defensively. This program has taken another. They took a huge step forward last year. Now they're taking another. But, yeah, Smith, so much fun to watch. And if you haven't seen him, you should.
I mean, when you look over on the Monroe side, a big emergence from those guys this year as well. Anthony Terry, we knew what kind of player he was coming in. You know what Cameron McCain is going to be. Jalen Anderson, though, has started to really kind of blossom.
Yeah, and Charlie Richards, apparently the sniper from three as well. Monroe, I mean, they had such a high learning curve last year. New coach, Brett Manner, although he'd been with the staff for so long, I don't think it was that big of a transition there. But still, new coach. So much turnover on the roster, and what you see from Monroe this year is just how big and physical they are. Anthony Terry, Malik Shackelford, they have a really, really nice front court, and they can work down underneath. I like the way this team can sort of run a set offense and really melt away clock. If they keep getting the outside shooting they've been getting, I think they're going to be right where they have been all season. You know, this was, I think they were 10-1 coming to this one, so just sitting at 10-2. This is a team that contend, you know, at the Group 3A level if they keep it up.
When you look, you know, those two, that's a big measuring stick game for them, always an important one. You know, what do you look for in the second time around in that one?
So obviously it'll be at Monroe's gym. I think the big thing for Monroe will be to continue the game that they had in those first three quarters, which just be pounded inside. They got Dre Twyman for Madison in foul trouble, and that could have been real problems. If Monroe buries its free throws, I think they'll be, you know, okay, or maybe it puts them over the edge. For Madison, you just can't avoid the slow start, and you can't just settle for threes and jack everything up in the first quarter. So we'll see what happens from them. But I expect the second round to be every bit as it's hard to be as good as the first round, but I think it's possible you could see just as good a meeting between the two.
Another huge game we had this week: Almar versus Western, meeting three between these two boys' squads. These games are just wars. I mean, just absolute trench warfare where everybody knows the other guy's move, and it's just really a matter of who's going to blink first.
Yeah, it seems like you got a real World War I vibe out of these. And it seems like such a continuation from last year, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just the sequel. And who would have guessed you'd have three meetings in the second week of January?
Yeah, man, it's very early for this to be done. These are just brutal games. You got to give it to Almar last night. I mean, obviously Western got the job done. We'll talk about them in a second, but you got to give it to Almar. It's difficult to play a team that plays you that physical and to like get fired up each go round. I mean, that's just not an easy task. And they managed, obviously flat in the first half, but they really managed to kind of get things together in the second half, start to make things interesting. It just felt like they just couldn't get quite over the hump each time with that squad.
Yeah, and I think that's the real issue for Almar. Talking with them after they played Monticello the week before, that everybody is going to get fired up to play against them. You know, when
they're getting everybody's best shot.
They came into this game the other night with a perfect record. So, yeah, to get as hyped up as the other teams, that takes an awful lot.
Yeah, and they're finding ways to do it. I think that, you know, maybe that Western loss last night ends up being a little bit of a wake-up call for them. That's a tough task, I think, when you're talking about just trying to get excited and trying to get fired up. But they got really good play from Jaquan Anderson in that second half. They got some help from Max Jarman. He had a couple of big threes. Yeah, Jake Hahn got going again. And I think that really it came down to, you know, what happens underneath. And I think that that's a tough thing to deal with. And, they're not going to have games. That was as bad as they could have played, probably in a lot of ways. On the flip side, it was as good as Western could have played. Western, you know, really came out of the gate strong, played really hard from the beginning. Ryan Ingram was really relentless, and then you had Josh Kaufman had the hot hand early, then Ingram's hitting free throws late. I mean, that was, you know, Darren Maynard said, that's as good as they could play in a high school basketball game. And I think that's, like you said, Almar's going to get everybody's best shot. In particular, they're going to get Western's best shot no matter what. And, you know, we got to see that. And I think that's probably going to play out. I mean, those are two teams that made deep playoff runs last year separately. Once they get into the 3A schedule for Western and the 5A for Almar, it's a really good Almar team. It's a really good Western team. I think that we could be looking at similar type runs.
Yeah, and these meetings sort of propelled them. You had a JD championship game with these two last year and sort of launched them into the playoffs where they're highly successful. And, you know, I feel like if you're a Vegas odds maker, you're looking at the same possibility here between these two. But yeah, with Western, it's been interesting that the injuries early on, end of December, early January, losing McGarren, what's that meant to them? They've had to lean on their bench, and they've been getting production. Sometimes you get a team that deals with some adversity, and it makes them better. So much better down the stretch.
Especially if McGarren comes back. I mean, they can take advantage of that depth. You know, Jed Strickland's turned into that kind of classic Western player that, you know, is going to come in. He's going to play so hard. He's going to play relentlessly.
He and Teo Rampini's.
Yeah, like these guys have taken. Yeah. Those are kind of classically Western players that, you know, are guys that they come in and they figure out ways to get the job done. They figure out edges and they figure out ways to do it. And I think those guys have emerged as those type of players, which is huge for them. And Austin Kress, I mean, he's had some really solid games. He's been really good. At times they've been able to lean on him offensively, at times defensively. So yeah, it's a Western team that's really rounded into form pretty nicely.
Yeah. Ingram talked about at the beginning of the year, how much Kress improved. And that's huge for them because their losses were in the post last year. They just need that rebounding production. Somebody, you know, physical length that can really stretch the floor down low.
Another game from last night, big, mainly because of an individual performance. Jalen Hudson, 33 points for Charlottesville last night against Monticello. That's a huge step for Charlottesville. It seems like they got a lot of pop out of playing Western really close last week. And they gained a lot of confidence. For Hudson to step in and, you know, put up 33 you know, he's been a streaky guy at times. We've seen him put up those kind of numbers before. But if he can consistently come out and put it numbers in the 20s, that's a huge step in the right direction for Charlottesville that's playing undersized underneath. They're having to get it done with guards, and I think that's going to be a challenge going forward for them.
Yeah, I think Charlottesville was a team coming into the season with the opportunity to grow the most. Mm-hmm. They had so much to sort of replace and just time to move around. They're undersized in the way they have been the last couple years, and Mitch Miner talking about it early in the season, they don't have the same agility or speed that they did, say, last year or the year before when you have a Caleb Gage or somebody like that, but they have basketball IQ, they have hustle, they just had to figure the things out a little bit. And I think that that's what this regular season sort of really means for them, is trying to work in all the different weapons that they have. We've seen Sam Neill have huge games. Hudson, last year he showed he had the ability to be a big scorer. He's doing it again this year. Charlottesville's always going to be a dangerous team because of just how hard they play. When their press works, they just come out and put together those 20-2 runs that give people such struggles. Their gym is as loud as any when their fans are mm-hmm. on top of the court and just going crazy. They are the team that can really shake up the standings. If you're Western or if you're Albemarle, you have to keep a close eye on Charlottesville.
When you look, the other thing we got to ask you about, on Friday you saw something we don't see very often, a team holding on to the ball for 4+ minutes. Flipping over to the girls' side, the Madison girls employed a really interesting tactic against Monroe.
I love this move on every angle, the way you could look at it. I think if you're Monroe, you take it as a sign of respect.
Yeah.
Madison at this point they're in deep foul trouble. They're trying to guard Sam Brunell and DeJure Strother, and it's going well in the sense that Monroe hasn't gone crazy offensively, but it's not going well, and they're shooting a lot of free throws. And you're down 5 at this point, and you say, you know what, they're in the double bonus, we can't afford anymore, let's just hold the ball for 4 minutes. They didn't even dribble. They just stood there in the corner. Monroe sat there, sagged back on defense, and just arms in the air, and they just waited for 4 minutes.
I gotta be honest, me personally, I don't even know if I have the attention span to just hold the ball for 4 minutes without accidentally dropping it and fumbling it out of bounds.
Yeah, so
that's not an easy task.
I think if you're Monroe, the only thing I would change is, because you never know in a game, where we've seen this before in playoff games where teams will hold the ball. Sometimes you'll see a defender come out and, the 5-second rule, just force a pass.
Yeah.
You never know. Sometimes people, they're all thumbs on one pass.
They panic.
Yeah, you can get a turnover. But, hey, if you're Monroe, 5-point lead going into the half, you're not too upset. If you're Madison, you get a last shot there. It doesn't go in. I mean, they're thinking about the possibility of going in down 2 if they hit a 3-pointer.
Sure.
But, yeah, really interesting. It was a way to sort of give them a chance in the second half. Now, Monroe came out in that second half and just blew the doors off.
Sure.
I think a move like that really fires up a team to come out in the second half. When you're sitting there just standing for 4 minutes, you're like, really, really, yeah, this is going on. But this is just basic strategy to give yourself a shot. That's a young team that doesn't expect to be in that game for as long as they were in some regard.
Sure.
So yeah, that's what you do. You play to win the game.
Yeah. Also on the girls' side, Albemarle and Western locked up again for the third time. Western Albemarle gets the job done, held Albemarle to 22. Albemarle's really been hanging their hat on defense, but just couldn't get the offense going. And they still held Western to 40. That's not a bad performance at all.
Yeah, how about the last couple weeks Western's had coming out of this holiday?
Western's picking up a little steam, man, getting a little bit of a surge. I think they've figured out an identity that they're comfortable with. They're okay. Chris Wright said it. They're okay winning ugly. If you want to get into a defensive battle with them, that plays, they're okay with that kind of game. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I think they've got Fluvanna coming up. Another team really prides itself on its defense. So it's going to be interesting to see how Western builds on this, get a little momentum. That's a big win for them and a tough place to play. Albemarle was at the top of the district. Now we're in this crazy. Everybody has 2 losses in the girls in the Jefferson District. Yeah, Louisa, Charlottesville, Western, Albemarle, all in the mix for the title. It's really going to kind of come down to the end.
Yeah, before the holiday break, you were looking at it, and you're like, okay, this is a race between Louisa and Charlottesville.
Yeah.
And then Albemarle got
on a roll.
Yeah, and we're seeing all the teams sort of get into it, and it looks like it's going to be a real dogfight, which is great for, we have so many classifications for these girls in the playoffs coming up. That's going to be great competition for them going forward. I mean, throw Orange County in the mix. Everybody has the ability to win. And that's just going to come.
Fluvanna too, man. Yep. I mean, Fluvanna's beaten. They're the only team, I think, or, you know, they one of two that have beaten Louisa. Fluvanna can nip anybody on any given night, especially if they get going. They've got players.
Well, and we saw Monticello play really tough against Albemarle. So it's got that any given Sunday vibe, which you can't ask for anything more in the dregs of January where, you know, this is sort of an interesting part of the season for us. I think everybody's just sort of itching to get to the playoffs.
Sure.
But we still got a lot of games left to play.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, we'll be back next week to talk a little more about everything that's kind of going on. We've got the week coming up is a big one. You got Blue Ridge Miller coming up. You got Goochland Buckingham hanging out there. A lot of big games coming up at the end of next week, and we'll be sure to come back and talk about them. Thanks a lot.